and now evangelist David Shannon.
If we will open your Bibles to John, the 7th chapter, starting in verse 45, we read, "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Nicodemus, now you remember we studied about Nicodemus a few weeks ago. He's going to take up for Jesus a little bit. He says, "Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and knoweth what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went into his own house." Who's the greatest speaker you've ever heard? You know, when I think about Winston Churchill, I would like to hear him in person. A man that can take a nation and rally it against a force that was as strong and powerful as Hitler. When we think about all the many leaders throughout the long history of the world, and to think how many were able to take men and women that were in the dunes of despair and agony, and they were able, through just a few speeches, to motivate them to rise and to fight again. Surely there's been some great speakers that have lived. Sometimes it's because of the way they can speak. Sometimes it's because what they speak. And other times it's a combination of both. You know, I've heard so much about Brother N.B. Hardeman through the years. I'm told of how he could speak and motivate a crowd. I'd like to hear him speak in person. There's so many people throughout the ages that have been good, good speakers. But you know, perhaps these officers summed it up best. When they went out to arrest Jesus, and when they got to Him, they couldn't help but to stop and to just listen to Him for a few moments. And then apparently the more they listened to Him, the less they were able to carry out their task of stopping Him from speaking. And as a matter of fact, they just went back and they said, "No man had ever spoken like this before." Wouldn't it be great to be able to hear Jesus speak? I think about Peter in Acts 2:38. That must have been one of the greatest sermons ever preached. But can you imagine hearing the greatest sermons ever preached? Of course, we know that Jesus had to be the one to deliver those sermons. He was the one that could take men that were about to turn against Him and persuade them. But what made Jesus such a great speaker? I think, first of all, we can easily see that Jesus spoke with such clarity. When we look in the 17th verse, we see how clear Jesus was with His speaking. "If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine." Now notice that. Jesus didn't say anything complicated to them. He said, if you want to do the will of Jesus, of God, you're going to easily find the doctrine, is what Jesus says here. He says, you're going to be able to see whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. You know, through the ages there's been jokes made, but yet they're so true about some politicians. They hear about the politician that spoke well. He spoke loud and he spoke long, but when I walked away, I realized he was on both sides of the fence. You know, Jesus didn't have that problem. Jesus spoke clearly. Oh, I don't know if Jesus spoke long. I don't know if He spoke loud. I'm sure He spoke well, though. And when the people walked away, they knew which side of the fence Jesus was standing on. He says, I preach God's doctrine. And He says, just put my words to test, and you'll see it's God's doctrine. You know, I remember one time in college we had a speaker to come and speak to us in a business class. And he was a motivational speaker. And there was just a few classes together, so maybe there was only 70 or 80 of us there. And oh, this guy could motivate you. He could just really fire you up. And he went around, and this is how he made his living. And he drove up in a big limo there at school that day. And oh, he had a great speech. But I walked away from that class that day, and I was fired up at how good he was. But then I thought, what did he speak about? And I really could not tell you what he's spoken about. And usually when I listen to a speaker, I always outline in my mind, you know, point one, point two, point three. I couldn't find it anywhere. And this same speaker was to speak in chapel that day. We, Fried Hardeman, we had a chapel every day. And some days we'd have a short devotional at the beginning, and that would close that part out. And then we'd have speakers on different careers. And so he was going to speak on the business field. He got up and he spoke for about 20 minutes. And he was probably one of the most exciting speakers that ever came to Fried Hardeman out of the time I was there. Oh, he passed out even some balloons and did an illustration where the kids blew up balloons, and at certain times he made illustrations with it. He had the entire audience listening. There was no doubt he had everyone's attention. But I was listening close this time. I wanted to see, was there any meat on this skeleton? And there wasn't. His points didn't even fit together. You couldn't even find a point. And that night we were sitting around the dorm room. Several of the guys said, wow, could you believe that speaker today? He was so good. So they talked for a few minutes. I said, guys, what did he speak about today? He had some balloons, yeah. What did he speak about though? Jesus Christ spoke. And the people walked away and they knew what he said. They knew where he stood. His doctrine was clear. It was plain. Why? Because it was the doctrine of God. God created us and he knows what we're able to understand. And he's not going to cast down upon us things that we cannot understand, that we need to know. You see, I need to realize today that I need to search Jesus Christ because he's one that teaches with clearness. But I also need to learn another point that could be implied here. If I'm going around and I'm searching just for people that are going to entertain me, if I'm searching just for someone that will speak loud and long and well, that doesn't cut the pie through all the way. I need to make sure whoever I'm listening to is going to speak with truth, the doctrine of God. You see, there's too many speakers in this world today that are eloquent speakers. There's too many speakers that are persuading souls, and brethren, they're persuading them right into hell. I need to make sure that when a man persuades me, that he's persuading me with the Word of God and not the doctrine of men. What else can I learn from this same point? The same point here, we need to realize that he said, if any man will do his will, there in verse 17. You see, Jesus spoke with clarity about the doctrine, but he didn't say just anyone that knows the doctrine, they're okay. He said, if anyone does the will of the doctrine. I need to realize also this morning that there are going to be those that will know the will, but they simply will not do it. You know, when I think about 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, we have people with this same thing going on in a sense in their life. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Well, why did they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, they're perishing. They received something, but it wasn't a love for truth. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. If I believe anything that contradicts God's will, that is of man or whomever it may be of, it is a lie. And God condemns a lie. I need to realize also today that the clarity of Jesus was His doctrine was of God, and that we must do the doctrine. It's not good enough just to know the doctrine. You know, today His message is still very plain, very clear. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. How much clearer can we get? Acts 2:38, He told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and that they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How much clearer can we get? Why tarriest thou now? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Why? To wash away sins. You see, it's clear today, just as it was clear in Jesus' time. And just as the problem Jesus had here, we sometimes have today, the clearness was muddied a little bit because men tried to throw in their own opinions, their own thoughts, and even more importantly, their own traditions. And when we muddy and when we make complicated the Word of God by opinions and traditions, we've asked for hardships. How I need today to strive to be like Jesus and to speak clearly the doctrines of God and to carry them out in my life. Well, that's not the only reason that I think these officers came back and said, no one ever spoke like this. I think those officers, secondly, must have also realized the compassion that Jesus had. Now, next week we'll probably talk in greater detail, but just for a moment, let's think about the next chapter in John, in the 8th chapter, the first 12 verses, a story that we're all familiar with. The woman is brought out, and they say, Jesus, she's actually caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say, Jesus? You see what they're doing? They want to hear the masterful teacher. They want to hear how he would approach this subject. Now again, we don't have all the details here. I can't tell you exactly why Jesus bent down, and I for sure can't tell you what he wrote with his finger in the dirt. But I can tell you this man of such great compassion saw a need to save this woman instead of destroy her. I can tell you that this man, Jesus, that had so much compassion that he was able to persuade even the accusers to show compassion. Oh yes, before it was over, he had the accusers themselves admitting that maybe they should let this woman go. And they let her go. I don't understand all the whys to that story, but I can tell you one thing that is very loud and clear, and that is Jesus was a speaker of compassion. When we think back just already in the chapters we've studied in John, you can think about the poor man that sat beside the pool of Bethesda. No one would help him. No one would even help him get into the water. For 38 years, Jesus had compassion on that man as he spoke to him. We think about the Samaritan woman. No one would show compassion upon her. She was a Samaritan woman. She had her life in a wreck. She paid no attention to God. She lived like the dogs. But Jesus showed compassion upon her. I suggest to you this morning that the reason we should also listen to Jesus is because Jesus is a speaker of compassion. You see, there's people in the world that say, oh, my life is in just too much sin. There's no way that Jesus can help me. I need to rejoice this morning because Jesus is a God of compassion. He's a Savior that shows compassion. And He says He'll reach down to anyone, verse 17, that wants to do the will. This morning, I need to rejoice because He is a Savior of compassion. Also, the third thing I need to notice this morning is in John 7, 37 through 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of the living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. This morning, I suggest to you the third reason that these men probably admired Jesus as a speaker is because that no one had ever spoken with such promise. Come unto me, If you're thirsty, come and drink, He says. I would like to just hear the stories of you this morning that have really been thirsty. You see, most of us never know what it's like to really, really be thirsty. I remember just one time, I wasn't anywhere close to death or even physical harm, but we would always ride either horses or motorcycles way back in the woods. We had thousands of acres where I grew up there that was just company land, and we would ride through logging roads on Saturdays, and I remember one particular day, it was very hot, and we got lost so far back. And you know, we kept walking by mud holes. And finally, I just had to take just a little sip. Oh, not a big drink, but just a little bit. We thought we were going to die. Oh, we weren't as bad a shape as we really thought we were in. But it's bad to be thirsty. It's bad to be real thirsty to the point that you just wonder, can I survive? You see, you can take an animal and you can lock him in a pen, such as a cow. And you can lock that cow in a pen and you cannot feed that cow, and that cow will stay in that pen and die. You can take that same cow and you can lock it into a pen before you kill it, before you starve it to death. You can take that cow and you can lock it in that pen and you cannot water it, and that cow will break out for water. It will do whatever it takes to tear down a fence to get to water. You see, we're built to quench thirst. That's the way God has made the very nature. It only makes sense now that when we look at when Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come unto me. You know, we can look just in our own congregation this week. There's been people that were not sick last week that are sick this week. There's been deaths in families. Brethren, we're living in a world where people thirst because they're hurting. We're living in a world where people around us have little children, and the children are 8 or 9 years old and they're rebelling, even at that age, and the parents are throwing their hands up. You know what the parents are? They're thirsty. They want some answers. We have people that need a grief seminar. They're thirsty. They don't know the answers to grief. We have people that they're looking at their life and they know they're not living in accordance to God's Word, and they're thirsty. They don't like the condition they're in. Brethren, I suggest to you this morning, we're living in a world that is thirsty. And we can rejoice because Jesus Christ preached a message of great promise. He says, if you're thirsty, come to me. Come to me. He says, not only will I help you, but I'll put in you that flowing river. That Spirit that it'll just flow out of you. There will be so many helpful ways. We need this morning to look at our own life, to see if there's areas this morning of thirst that we are experiencing. But then we need to realize that if we truly are children of God, we cannot be selfish with it. But at the same time, we need to go and we need to speak that same message to tell others to let it flow out of us. There is a Savior. There is someone that can quench your thirst. This morning, I asked you a simple question. Where does Jesus stand in your life? You see, there's been great, great speakers through the years. There's been great speakers that have motivated people through the years. But I need to realize this morning, there has never been a greater speaker to motivate any group for a greater cause than what Jesus Christ did. He stood and He spoke with clarity. This morning, how does your life speak so far as an example? Do people look at your life and they're confused? They say, I don't understand it. I see them go to church on Sunday, but I also see what they do on Monday and Tuesday. And I see what they do on Friday and Saturday. Is your life one of clarity? Jesus' life was. He even challenged the people, put it to test. See if my doctrine's not of God. Second of all, is your life one of compassion? Do you confuse your neighbors there? Do they say, I know that they love God, or at least they say they do. I know that they go to church, but I don't see any compassion. Let's show people compassion. because Jesus shows compassion upon us. And thirdly, do we live a life of promise? You know, Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Because a Christian can walk around and smile even through the bad times, because we are promised, as long as we hold on to God, even the bad can be switched around to the glory of God. We need to realize this morning to rejoice because of the great promises and to be willing to share those promises with others. Where do you stand this morning? No man has ever spoken like this man. Do you kneel at the foot of Jesus in awe? Or do you turn your back and don't care? This morning, what will your answer be? He says He wants to give you that living water that flows out. If you believe what you've heard, you believe the Word of God, if you want to turn away from the sins in your life and you say, I'm thirsty for something better, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized to wash those sins away and rise to walk a new life with Jesus. Maybe you say, well, I've done that, but I have an empty spot. I'm still thirsty. We all stumble. We all fall. We all have weaknesses. If you want repentance from God and from others, we would love to pray with you and for you this morning. If you need to respond, won't you respond to the greatest man that has ever spoken? And that's to Jesus Christ this morning.